Islam, and welcome to another episode of From a Moorish Point of View. I'm your host, Brother Roger Brewington Bay. And first, I'd like to give thanks and praises to Allah for being able to broadcast to you again. At this time, I want to apologize to those of you who have been holding on the line and holding on for this broadcast. I had a scheduling snafu that I didn't think about when I first scheduled the show originally for 8 p.m., and that was the fact of our Sunday school for Temple 61 goes from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it takes me about an hour to get from the temple location back down to my house. So I want to apologize to all of you who have been patiently standing by and listening. We're standing by for the Supreme Grand Sheikh to call on the line. So I want everybody to hold fast for about 5 minutes while I get the Grand Sheikh on the line. Again, thank you for calling in. Stand by. Islam, and I welcome back to Moorish Point of View. I would like to say that we have the Supreme Grand Sheikh on the line at this time. Islam.
Islam, Moor.
Islam, Grand Sheikh. How's everything going for you today?
Going pretty good. All praise is due to Allah.
Praise Allah. I want to apologize again for the scheduling mishap that I did with the show. And I'm glad that you were able to create the time to talk with us this evening about this very important topic that I chose, called The Challenge to Control the Moorish Science Temple of America. And it is a prevalent thought amongst those who would attempt to raise themselves up to take charge of the Moorish situation, as the Prophet stated in one of the documents that we read in our meetings, Supreme Grand Sheikh.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to start off at that particular vantage point and get some of your ideas about this challenge that has been since the time of the Prophet with the controlling mm-hmm. of the Moorish Science Temple of America.
Islam. Islam to all of the listeners and audience there as well. Greetings and salutations to everyone who has made up their mind to follow Jawali and no one else. The situation with the taking control of the Moorish Science Temple of America is futile. The Prophet stated his position then, and his position is the same right now, which is the same position we take. Now, it may sound harmful if you're caught up in your feelings, but feelings in this case, when it comes to the complete liberation of our people mentally, it really doesn't matter, because the Moorish Science Temple of America, first of all, is a religious corporation. And this religious corporation was founded by only one person, and that is our Divine Prophet Noble Jawali. No one else founded this organization. And he states in the Constitution, underneath his feet, founder, which means that it can't be found again, which means that at one time we didn't know where it was until he brought it to us. And he has that power to bring it to us because, and when we talk about bring it to us, we're talking about that everlasting gospel, that saving power that we need, and we have to have that. And it can only come from Allah Almighty through his prophet, who has come in many different human forms, through first physical man, rather, our grandfather, and by his prophet, as I said, who comes in many different physical forms. This is what's going to save us. Now, we take this position in the Moorish Science Temple of America. We say that we have consistently demonstrated plans for the betterment of mankind, teaching those things to make our people better citizens. And the Moorish Science Temple of America approaches this situation through a religious connection. We also state that in our missionary work, we encourage those through example that our social, moral, economic conditions can be better. We have to let the world know that we are Muslims, no question about it. We are Muslims who have accepted the practice of the religion of our ancient forefathers, and that is Islamism. And we can do that. As the Prophet explains to us, here in America, the door to religious freedom swings open to all, and all of us may enter as we please. We have entered this door, and we have entered this door of religious freedom, proclaiming a religion of Islamism. That will never change. Islamism to us is presented in the style as the Prophet presented to us. And by no means whatsoever will we have anyone else to challenge us or check us to see if we're real Muslims. You're not qualified to ask us those questions. Do we pray five times a day? Do we do Ramadan? All those questions that are inherent in all Muslims all over the world. But we refuse to answer your questions, whoever you are, so you can substantiate, are we real Muslims according to your standard? We are real Muslims according to the religion of our forefathers, and nothing has never changed. It will never change the way the Prophet brought it to us. Our nationality is Moorish Americans. Our divine and national principles are love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. We know by proclaiming our nationality and our divine creed, we have met the constitutional standards of law in the United States of America. Therefore, we don't really need your opinion. We know what the opinion of man is. What we need to do is proclaim. Under the Prophet Noble Drew Ali's Morris Science Temple of America, as he is the founder and the only founder that we recognize in the Morris Science Temple of America. We know that while we proclaim in our nationality, we are enjoying the political status in our government. We decided that we would join the melting pot of nationalities, Brother Roger Bay.
Mm-hmm.
We would join as Moorish American Muslims. Joining the melting pot of nationalities is not accepted as Negro, Black, and Colored. Therefore, we're going to maintain our free national name, which is Moorish Americans, like any other free national citizen in this free national government. As followers of this great prophet, Noble Drew Ali, we are also dramatically involved in the great program of uplifting fallen humanity. And that is consistent in us uplifting ourselves first. Uplifting fallen humanity says that we are humanitarians, as we connected the world to itself centuries ago. And in connection with our religious aims and beliefs, we also are empowered to promote economic security. We need economic security. Nobody's going to listen to nobody in the world, us particularly, without any economic power.
Mm-hmm.
We need business. We need powerful businesses. We need Moorish American Airlines, Moorish American Trucking Services, Moorish American Universities, Moorish American Farms. We need economic power based on the three things that we need to survive here in the manifest: food, clothing, and shelter. And the Prophet Noble Drew Ali comes with that program. Many of us are shining lights in the business world. Many of us. And we are very talented amongst us. But we also have to believe also in the spirit of cooperation. We benefit more from cooperating with each other than we do apart. There is a consistency in cooperation with each other as it promotes our prosperity. Now, we're not going to have these physical bodies forever. And we're going to give them up one day. But we have to have something to leave our youth and dare them to do wondrous things. Now, I didn't say any of that. The prophet said that. He said the Moorish Science Temple of America is actively involved in obtaining this kind of economic power to ensure us the enjoyment of the genuine spiritualities of life. We don't have to worry about how we're going to pay our bills. Money is not a problem amongst us as much as it is unity with one another, so says our prophet Noble Drew Ali. We have to learn to trust each other in business and proceed in business because it's to our advantage. It is in our best interest to, when we change forms, to leave a business to our children, and our children leave a business to their children, and we maintain economic power and strength as a nation through the spirit of cooperation. The prophet continued to say that we are teaching our people who are Asiatics. We're teaching them that they are Asiatics by race and Moorish Americans by nationality. We don't believe in calling each other an Asiatic black man. That defeats the whole purpose of the founder of our organization, Moorish Science Temple of America. We will accept nothing other than what the prophet Noble Drew Ali said, cut and custom to the bone. By removing the marks of Negro, Black, and Colored, which by law are unconstitutional and cannot be found in any of the true and divine records, we are standing whole and strong now and taking our place in the affairs of men. It is futile for anyone who thinks that they can change the Prophet Noble Drew Ali's laws, rules, and regulations. They are what they are. That will never change. All of his editorials are so powerful, but he did not ask us to preserve these editorials. He asked us to preserve his laws. And all true Moorish Americans who believe in his prophet, accept his teachings, will do just that. Moorish American Muslims don't overcharge for membership. The prophet told us that anyone who's posing themselves as the Moorish American Muslims who overcharge for membership are embezzlers, and justice will catch you. It is our position as statesmen of the Moorish Science Temple of America to hold fast to these tenets, Brother Roger Bay, that our prophet Noble Drew Ali has given to us. We have a choice now, Moorish America. We can follow the mere ideas of man, which breed hatred, slander, lewdness, murder, stuff, and it also breeds jealousy. They were jealous of the prophet. They were jealous of him no matter how much he did for us. We have to realize that we're not going to accept that kind of behavior because, as Acts 6 says in our divine constitution and bylaws, we are teaching our people their nationality and divine creed. That means us. We're still learning how to wash away that Negroism, that backbiting, that hating your own brother. For what? Many people have come and asked me different questions, and some about my dear brother, Brother R. Jones Bay. I love that brother. He's a good brother. He's my friend and he's my brother. And guess what? We have something in common. What we have in common is that we're teaching our people their nationality and their divine creed. Our great leader, the first Supreme Grand Sheik and Chairman, Millie Hill, said, we can talk about a lot of things we disagree upon. And if our disagreement is based on something that the prophet didn't say, then that's between you and the law. But what we're going to talk about now and forever is the things we agree on. We agree that Allah is God, no question about it, the Father of the universe, which is space. Wherever space is, that's where the Father, Allah Almighty, is governing. When we talk about our vast estate is not limited to Earth. Our vast estate is unlimited. If we can see it as laws of the plane and manifest, then we run it. And that includes Pluto and Mars and any other manifest that we see. We as Moorish American Muslims need to hold on fast to these instructions that the Prophet Noble Jalali gave to us. Then we know we're good Moors. We're striving to be the good Moors who set an example for the entire world. The Prophet Noble Jalali said, because that's what I do. I'm a repeater of what he already said. I don't have nothing new. If anybody else comes to you with something new, then they're outright challenging the Prophet Noble Jalali, who is the divine entity of this great God, Allah Almighty. So, in terms of taking over, the prophet did warn us about that. He says they want to take charge of the situation. Why? The only reason it could be for is the same reason that Caius gave to the Romans and to his people during the time of Jesus, for money, for manifest, those things that come and go, that don't last forever. Our prophet Noble Jalali has reminded us to seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these other things will be added to you. You don't have to be religious and poor. You can be religious and rich, but there's a holy unity in the rich. Because if I got a dollar, I'm going to make sure you get 50 cents of it. And we're going to support each other's businesses. And we're going to do what is right to maintain some kind of economic power and strength as a people. I hope that these words that I'm sharing with you this evening hits you in the heart bone. And then you can say to yourself, whatever I was doing that wasn't what the Prophet Noble Jalali told us to do, I'm going to make a speedy reparation. I'm going to correct that right away. Because that's hope for all of us. Our Prophet Noble Jalali is that beacon light of hope for all of us, especially when we lose our way. Sometimes we lose our way, and we need to find out how to get back. And if we're looking to get back to Noble Jalali and you confused out there in Moorish America, you better grab onto the hand that won't let go and get that master grip going on with Noble Jalali and his teachings. We have to stop this thing of trying to be first. Who's going to be the first to do this? I said this, I said that. That is not the prophet's unity. His unity is one hand and one heart. And if we believe him and know that what he's saying is correct for us, then we get on this good ship Lollipop. All of us would be ready to give that biscuits and some gravy a good stopping on that plate because it benefits us. It benefits us greatly, not just now, but forever. In the past of Moorish American history, there have been many who wanted their way and tried to do their way. But as the prophet said, your way you want, your way you will have. But your way just won't do. It will never do. And we don't have to keep reminding you of the same thing. The prophet will remind you of that. Nobody gets away in this divine organization. And let's just hone on the word organization. We organize. That's what he said. We organize. You know, when you organize, there's nothing that can stop you when you're demonstrating the will of man. These attributes of the soul, thinking, willing, reasoning, understanding, these essence, these actions of the soul, it's what we as more scientists must put into full effect to get some really good results. That is the unity of Allah and man. That is the unity with our prophet, Noble Jew Ali. Now, some may want to rebuttal, but if they rebuttal, they're rebutting the prophet, Noble Jew Ali, because we're speaking what he already said. There's no rebuttal. There's no argument. I would be fearful to argue with this great prophet, Noble Jew Ali, knowing what he already said, knowing what he already did. It's impossible, and it's disrespectful to try to change things, and I say again, to try to change things that the prophet already put down. The nationality card is what he already put down, and his signature is on the bottom of each one. If anyone attempts to change the nationality card, that is not the Moorish sign, Temple of America. And Brother E. Braswell Bay, don't care if you don't like it, because he's going to say what the prophet said. Now, if you don't like it, you don't like Noble Jew Ali. And that's a problem that you have, not we have. I thank you for letting me share that piece with you, brother, in regards to the question that you have. And I'm prepared to take any question you have, because I'm going to let the prophet answer those questions for me.
Islam, Supreme Grand Sheikh, thank you for elucidating those pungent points that you brought forth. And I just want to ask you a question based on what you said. If when you draw that line in the sand, as you have done, by stating and repeating several times that you repeat what the prophet said on all aspects and we and govern ourselves by what the prophet said, what do you say to those who feel that they're tired of the so-called division that they apparently see with stating we are in the direct line of succession of Prophet Jew Ali coming under your administration, which ties back to the first administration, that today a lot of those who call themselves Moorish Americans say that they're tired of that type of talk. They're tired of that type of speaking. Why can't we all just come together and get along and put this movement where it's supposed to be, no matter where they come from and what kind of Moor they say they are? We should just all get along together with this. Tired of the division, you know, all of those things. What is your statement or your mindset when you hear those things being echoed across the land in regards to who the prophet placed in power and how we fall under that power?
Well, that will never change. There's a continuity of the seat of power. Prophet said when he announces his power and authority. He said the seat of power is what he said, and they are to act as him. They are to act as him. Now, here's the issue here. With those that say that, then that means they're challenging the central authority that the prophet has already said. And the reason why they're saying that we don't know who's who or what's what is because they fail to recognize the central authority that has never changed. In every organization, and we organized, there has always been a central authority and a continuity of that central authority. Now, what these people are saying, or these Moors, is that they are not informed enough to make that kind of statement. We know, mathematically speaking, the more information you have, the better decision you can make. Many of them are not informed. They don't know. Because there was a covert attempt to sweep the central authority under the rug and therefore produce chaos like we have now. Chaos is an illusion and nothing more. Because anybody who can read, and mind you, reading is not against the law anymore because we're not slaves anymore, who can read and comprehend and see that the prophet left a central authority, and that central authority is the same. Anyone else who claims to be that central authority with no written proof or a continuation of the beginning of the central authority is fluff. We call it fluff. It's really not existing. And they have walked into some kind of illusion. As the prophet has not changed, his teachings has not changed, His authority has not changed. Whoever has the responsibility has the authority. They go hand in hand. Responsibility and authority are one in one. For them to say, well, let's get on with it. How come we can't get along? Well, we are getting along. And we are moving. We are united. Then they have to ask themselves, are they united to the central authority? It is what it is. Now, it's not what I said. It's what the prophet said when he announces his power and authority. He said all of it is in the Supreme Council, those who he appoint to act in his behalf. Now, I don't recall, and I need to see someone or some proof that he said everyone who wanted to say they could act jumped up and said, I'm acting. It don't happen that way. In any group of people around the world, anyone who do that is chaos. The Constitution of the United States of America is a national document. And many of us have it. We've learned it in school. And many governors of every state have the Constitution of the United States of America. That doesn't mean that they're president of the United States of America. Our Constitution, our divine Constitution and bylaws, is also a national document. It's a national document that should be in the hands of every law-abiding citizen and every member of the Morris Science Temple of America. It doesn't mean that you jump up and say, well, I'm the Supreme Grand Sheik and Chairman. I'm the Chair. I'm the Grand Sheik. It don't go that way. And for those of us who are doing that, what you're really showing is your ignorance and your inability to follow the consistency of law that was already laid down by our divine prophet, Noah Drew Ali. And that's why he said in the warning, they want to take charge of the situation. The Morris Science Temple of America, on paper, is a multi-billion-dollar religious corporation. So maybe they think that that's where the money is, and that's what they want. But what you want, you're not going to get. Because the prophet is a divine entity coming directly from our Lord Allah Almighty in Act 1. All those positions are divine positions, as the Constitution is a divine document that proceeds directly from our Lord Allah Almighty. None of us can change that. None of us. And if we look at the history of the Morris Science Temple of America, many have tried and they have failed. And they continually fail. Because you cannot change something that Allah has put into effect. We cannot do that. So in conclusion, to pinpoint more of your question, anyone in Morris America who said, why can't we get along, are ill-informed. Now, we have to take responsibility of that in a minute way because we haven't had the resources to move around the country and remind, I'll say that word again, remind Morris America of what the prophet said and what he did. So by not being able to do that and you have access to those resources, unfortunately, many groups around the country are doing their own thing. And that's what that is. It's their own thing. It has nothing to do when the prophets say we organize. We organize under him and his laws, rules, and regulations. And they got to get on the good ship Lollipop because time is drawing near, so says the prophet Noble Jawali. And he's trying, that evil spirits are trying every weak man. And your weakness, unfortunately, is coming from your inability to see yourself as a follower and not a leader. And those of our people who are taking this masquerade position are only fooling themselves. They have walked into the darkness, and some of them love the dark, or they don't care that they're in the dark. But woe be unto you, because as we said earlier, what are your children going to say? It's against the law to cause confusion, according to the prophet Noble Drew Ali. It's against the law to cause confusion in his organization. And you know better? You must have walked into some kind of illusion. You must have.
Illusion.
You were losing.
Supreme Grand Sheik.
And vanity, one more point, most favorite son of heaven. Vanity is beyond them all. And when you say, well, what is the reason? Because we know reason was given to us to kind of maintain and keep our dominion. Nothing can be justly superseded from reason. What's the reason you're doing this, boy? And the only reason that we can see, brother, is vanity. Prophecy is beyond them all. None of us is the hero of the day that saves the day. The hero, the prophet tells us, is the most renowned of human character. But what if he but a bubble of this weakness called vanity? And you keep asking yourself, therefore, what I do? You didn't do anything. The prophet has already done everything for us. He said that he was too deep, you couldn't get under him. He said he was too wide, you couldn't get around him. He said it was too tall, you can't get over Drew Ali. You must come by him. We all must come by him.
Islam. I want to ask you, and I'm going to present this to you, because I feel that you are one of the only speaker on this vital aspect of our religious corporation. It's a twofold question in part, and you can take whichever one first. The first is you answered it somewhat earlier, but we need to continue to reemphasize this because, as you know, more than I do, that there are plenty of people, as the prophet said, and it continues to happen to the day, that take up the name Morris Science Temple of America to do work. They incorporate in wherever they are, and they go out there and they start fleecing the people. And also, another vital point, because you know every so often, another scam or scheme comes up to draw people's mind and attention away from the true and divine way that the prophet wanted us to go. And that scheme and scam today, which is becoming prevalent, the conversation, and that is about those ones who call themselves Moorish Americans amending themselves to our corporate paperwork. What is the, can you explain that to our listeners so that they can understand the fault in doing that? As far, because there are people who are charging money to file paperwork to amend themselves to our religious corporation affidavit of organization that you spoke or alluded to a little bit earlier.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you would pose that piece right there, because it was just a few days ago a sister called me from Oregon and asked me should she pay $300 that she'd been on the internet to get her papers. And I said to her, that's not the cost of your birthrights. You know, you're talking about getting your birthrights. And the only entity that can issue those birthrights is the Morris Science Temple of America, founded by Prophet Noble Jamal Lee. Now, we know that. And the prophet called these people embezzlers. And the interesting fact is that they don't even have the power to issue that. Their name is not signed on the nationality card. The prophet is. And this nationality card is just the way he had it, just the way he wanted it. And he didn't require any photos on there. He didn't require anyone to sign the back of the card or the front of the card, because he already signed it, and he has that power. He said the nations of the world will not recognize you if I, the prophet, are not here. And they won't. So those people who are posing themselves as a Morris Science Temple of America and doing these evil things, they are part of what the prophet already told us. They're evil spirits who are moving and confusing the minds of the ones that do believe. And justice will catch them. We don't agree with that. We know that membership, you pay for the cost of the nationality card, the button, and the 50-cent dues, is only $1.35. And it should be that, because those Moors in Cuba, when I was there, I gave a woman $1. She bought mango juice, she bought chicken, and she bought a loaf of bread. They can't pay no more than that. And the prophet did put a temple there. So that's a divine thing that we always have to remind ourselves of, why the prophet did what he did. And again, there are those who want to change things that the prophet already put down. You can't change what he has already said. And sooner or later, they're going to know that they can't, because the law is going to take care of that for them. They're going to find themselves in a lot of hot water, because what they're doing is wrong and evil. But what I don't understand is that they do this consciously, some of them, as if it's secondhand nature for them. They have to know that what they're doing is wrong. And we, the true Moors, as the prophet said, have to let them know. And the only way we're going to let them know is that we come together in such a unified way under Prophet Noble Jamal that the loud voices demand that you stop. I remember the Green March in Algeria in the late 50s when the Algerians wanted to take their government back from the French. The Green March was done by almost all the Algerians who was there. And they marched on the capital, chanting or zikering Allah, Allah, and with those powerful prayers and the unity they have. Because when you have the will of the people moving in one direction, that's unstoppable. And they took back their capital. So we're asking all those Moorish Americans who accept Allah as their God, the one God, who accept that Allah Almighty has divinely ordained Noble Jawali, and we're not listening to anyone who says so-and-so is the seal of the prophets. Well, that's what you say. But our questionnaire asks us, what is our prophet to us? And that's to us. To us, he is our prophet. To us. You can say whatever you want to say. But if we believe in his teachings and have accepted those teachings and ready to preserve these teachings and stand on them, like a cedar growing on a mountaintop, there's nothing that these people can do to continually try to embarrass us as an organization and tell the people things that are simply not true. These people are elusive. And the thing about it that I understand is that, you know, rhetoric is good in a sense, as anything is. But when you over-rhetoricizing things, your rhetoric has become, has superseded even your vanity. There's a real big problem there. In psychology, they call it the Jesus Christ complex. We have to get out of that. We have to get out of that as a people. And again, the way we're going to move on that is that you have the Moorish hordes increasing, marching behind the prophet Noble Jawali. Because as I said earlier, you can't get in front of him. You cannot. It will be unto you if you think you can. It seems old to me that there need to be some washing of this vanity. There need to be some clearing up of this hero complex that you're going to save the day because you have the formula. Let me remind you that the only one that has saved the day and is saving the day now and will continue to save the day for our people from persecution, from Marx, is the one and only, the Prophet Noble Jawali. That's it. That's it. Many say, well, you getting all behind the Prophet Noble Jawali. That's why I'm going to stay. That's why I'm going to stay. And not only me, we are great in numbers. We are great in numbers. And many of us here who are great in those numbers, we follow the prophet to a destiny that is not uncertain and unknown. That's how strong our belief is. Some people say, well, you know, I'm beyond belief, I'm in faith. Well, there is a group of angels who protect the holy city of Mecca today to keep the unbelievers away. Now, many say, well, these are unbelievers. Well, if you believe, do you really believe? Because they are unbelievers who are kept away. So just think of the opposite. If you're a believer, look how strong you are. Because Allah Almighty, our Lord, is not powerful. He's omnipotent. He's beyond power. Power changes as the ethers change. Allah never changes. And neither does his edits change. Neither does his direction change. You say that Allah didn't know what he was doing when he ordained Noble Jawali to be a divine prophet and relieve us from this mental slavery that we have now? Something must be wrong with you. We are dedicated to the relief of the mental slavery that our people are having right now. Dedicated to it, because that's the issue right now. Now you telling me that I had to fight to get my birthright. Now I got to fight you because you hating. You don't like me because I'm telling you what the prophet said. You got something against me. You're looking for fault in my character. Look at the fault in your own character. I can tell you one thing: as a faithful follower of Noble Jawali, I will outwork you any day of time. Jesus told his parents when they found him, do you not know I must be up my father's work? So I encourage Moorish America, get behind the prophet Noble Jawali and be about your father's work. And when you hear that flim-flam and all this razzle-dazzle of you, I, you, change it. Correct it now. The prophet don't even speak like that. He speak about, when he say I, he talking about himself, and he should. Other than that, it's us and we. It's us and we. And it should be us and we because we organized. We organized. And there is no one that could break that organization. I don't care who you are, how sweet you talk, how good you look. It ain't happening. Now, I didn't say that. The prophet said that. He said he had latent powers that can be called on as a matter of defense at any given moment. I accept that. And I fear my Lord Allah Almighty that if I don't do what the prophet told me to do, which is directed by the omnipotent one, then I'm going to be punished. And we should know enough not to be punished. We should know enough that the arm of Allah has not weakened. And he don't weaken what you're doing. Change your way, Allah will change you. The prophet said to follow me is life, mental life, spiritual life. Not to follow me is sure death. Now, I know I was dead at one time, and many of us were dead and not knowing who I was. And you didn't tell me. The prophet told me. And he had the power, and I listened to him. And we beg our people to listen to him as well. Yeah, you lost your way, but there is such a thing called redemption. And the prophet says that under his feet when you open your Holy Quran in the Moorish Science Temple of America. He says he's here to redeem the people, to redeem the people. Because not only did he come to us, but he came to the entire world, like all prophets do, bearing the principles of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. I thank you, brother.
Islam, I thank you. I thank you for that remarkable statement to what if plaguing the people's mind. And with that, you mentioned when we talked a couple of days ago about your visit to Los Angeles, California, and our temple out there and the beautiful work that those brothers and sisters are doing with uplifting fallen humanity. And you mentioned a specific conversation that you answer towards, and that is the fact that with yourself being in the line and succession of Supreme Grand Sheikhs going back to Mili Il, you stated that someone mentioned to you when you were in California that it's their understanding of us is that we worship Mili Il, and you were speaking to some of the actions that Mili Il took or found himself embroiled in during the time shortly after the prophet's passing form. Can you go into that subject matter as far as addressing the point of, do we worship Mili Il?
No, we don't. Like, I mean, here's the case of, how should I say this? Here's a case of man believe what others say, but does he knows. Man knows not by being told. If anyone says that we're worshiping Mili Il, to me, in my understanding, what they're really saying is that we don't accept the central authority and the first one who represented that central authority, who happened to be Mili Il. Now, when we read in the archives about Mili Il, how dedicated he was to our great prophet, Noble Dr. Ali, he knew that when the prophet called him to his private chambers and spoke to him through his mighty Godhead, it had been revealed to him that I'm in divine presence. I'm in divine presence. And did Mili Il get all of it right? He tried. But one thing for sure, his dedication and his obedience to the prophet was very clear and plain. Now, it was a conversation in Los Angeles, and they treated me that way. I didn't ask him for that. That's how they saw this human body. That's how they respected the central authority. They were showing respect to the central authority that the prophet Noble Dr. Ali established himself. One brother was saying, well, Mili Il said that we voted. And then he said the officers were elected. And that became an argument with that. This was after the lecture. And it was so many people there, I happened to get wind of it. And I walked to where this conversation was, and there was a crowd of people there. And I says, well, I don't understand what the issue is. There are issues that we vote on, no question about it. But on the back of the questionnaire where our authority is, it says that officers were appointed. Now, if Miller Hill said that we elect, then he was wrong. Because we have a choice here to believe Miller Hill, me, you, or anyone else, or accept Noble Drew Ali. Under any circumstances whatsoever, we accept the ideas of a man that the prophet has already put in black and white in what he said. So we're not afraid to say the things that the prophet said. It doesn't matter who said it. Can't change things. Miller Hill is not a god, neither am I, or you. Allah is God, and Drew Ali is his prophet. And he said the officers are appointed. And that's what we continually do, appoint. You can't appoint yourself to an office. And that's consistent with Act 1 of the additional laws. Each said temple must be approved. Now, who's doing the approving? I guess it must be the one who the prophet said all his power and authority is in them to act as in the supreme body. And maybe that's what it meant. If you put on your thinking, Kofi, and allow yourself to think for yourself and read for yourself and hear your prophet Noble Drew Ali and what he said, it ain't what nobody else said. I don't care who they are. It's what Drew Ali said. And he said, appoint, anoint, appoint. You can't get around that. Here's another example of trying to get around the prophet Noble Drew Ali. He too deep for you. He too deep for me. He too deep for all of us. Respect the prophet Noble Drew Ali and his laws, rules, and regulations, or just die. That's what Miller Hill wrote the prophet one time. He said, oh, prophet, they're not doing what you told them to do. The prophet wrote it back. He said, all they can do is just die. This is not a social organization. This is not a fraternity. This is a divine organization who is serious about the complete liberation of our people mentally, of mental slavery, which they have now. We're not playing. We look at the situation around the country of our young people being shot by the police and the police getting scot-free away. We want to do something. We do. But what can we do? We can say, well, listen, you can't do that to him because he's a Moor. And then his mother turned around and said, no, we Baptists. We ain't with that. Jesus is our Savior. You can sympathize with him. You can give him words of encouragement. But this thing is real, whether we like it or not. You must come by the prophet Noble Drew Ali. You must proclaim your nationality and your divine creed. Then we have the power to speak for you as you have the power to speak for me. It looks like a cold-blooded thing, but that is what it is. The prophet is serious. He's serious about our people coming into their own. Now, what about all the other killings we never hear about? I'm sure there's a whole lot of them that's been going on for a long time. So why let the media dictate our actions? Because the media are going to tell you, they're going to show you the ones that they want a reaction from you. So who knows why? See who is right and who is wrong? Debate you? Well, you know, if we're going to thump, we're going to begin to thump. And when we thump, we're going to thump with some power, clarity, and authority, and with numbers of Moorish American Muslims under one temple, speaking with one voice, one hand, and one heart.
Now, Supreme Grand Sheik, real quick, because you just brought out a point, and I want to make sure that you explain it in detail what you mean. When you say we encourage those ones who find themselves on the wrong side of the law as far as an individual officer's actions, that doesn't necessarily represent the police force of the city or the state. When you're saying that we in the Moorish Science Temple of America as officials, are officials of the prophet and this temple, and the work that we do for nationality and divine creed, it's just like in international law, if a person is abused and mistreated somewhere, but they have no nationality, who answers for them? Who can answer for them? And I know we have a moral obligation to speak against atrocities anywhere. But as you said, and I'm asking you to explain it again so there's no misunderstanding of what you're saying, okay, that we're not disaffected by what's going on. We are deeply concerned. So if you could,
yes,
if you could, explain that a little bit more in detail.
People who have not proclaimed their nationality now, the Moorish Science Temple of America is not a reactive organization. We're proactive. That means we act before something occurs. And our proactivity is centered around extending the learning and the truth of this great prophet, Noble Jamal Ali, to our people. Now, I think personally our strategy should be when the media shows us these things, when the dust settles in these particular localities, we should be out there with nationality rallies. We should be explaining to them that they have a prophet. They have their birthrights to come get. Now, if we want to be effective, and I'm going to say that word again, we want to demonstrate effectiveness of solving this problem, then we are increasing the Moorish horde and encouraging our people to be really effective in this situation here by standing up and speaking as a free national citizen and not as one with a mark on it, because they're not going to hear you, but they're going to hear us. If we speak in numbers, and we speak in numbers of free national men bearing his free national name as Moorish American Muslims.
Now, when you say Mark, Supreme Rashid, when you say Mark, what do you mean?
I mean the marks of Negro, Black, and Colored. That's what I mean. Negro, mm-hmm. Black, and Colored, those are marks that any government anywhere in the world would not accept. And as the prophet has already explained to us in some of his writings, and those who try to push that on the civilized nation, they are abused and misused. That's unfortunate. Now, those parents who lost these children, what we should be doing is consoling them and telling them that heaven is not a place and the sky is not a place of meets and bounds. Ministering to them, comforting them, and encouraging them to be a part of this great organization, then they would have the power to redeem themselves. I visualize a group of Moorish American Muslims, large group, confronting this situation when one of us is done that way, legally and effectively. Because marching is a band-aid on an open wound, and we've done that too much throughout our history. Marching is not effective as much as the prophet's divine plan of the ages is most effective. And many of us who have demonstrated that, we know that to be a fact. We know that to be a fact. And by being a member of this religious corporation, we can execute some power, clarity, and authority with officials who it appears, won't recognize us as free national citizens, Moorish Americans. And then we'll ask all the other free national citizens. They're challenging us. They're doing this to us. Join us, because you may be next.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. It doesn't matter if you're a Polish American, an Irish American, an Italian American. You a free national citizen. And if they're doing this to us, you next. So it's in our best interest to band together to stop this now. Right now. But we won't let the media dictate how we're going to do it. We won't let them show us situations that they more than likely pick out and say, let's put this on TV. Who's holding the camera? Who's shooting the movie? Who's handing it over? Who are you? We don't know who you are. You trying to incite a riot? You want to see who's who? No, that's not our program. That's not our approach. If that's our approach, then why are we in the Moorish Science Temple of America? Get real.
So, in light of that, I have 2 points that I'd like for you to elucidate on, and then we're running short on time. One of those is when you say that's not our approach. What do you say to those members of the Moorish Science Temple of America who would put up paraphernalia such as Black Panther demonstration and confronting physically the governmental arms of the police forces of the state or the city where they live? Is that an approach that a member of the Moorish Science Temple of America should engage in or even promote?
No, it's not. because we advocate peace, not destruction. Now, I didn't say that. The prophet said that. We are, according to the teachers of Duality, we are far too intelligent for that. We don't do that. And if anyone is doing that, they need to stop. See, then we get back to Act 6 again of the Divine Constitution and Bylaws. Many of us are still, we haven't, you know, washing, symbolic of washing away all of that Negroism is what many of us are still experiencing. You can't look at the Morris Science Club of America as an Afrocentric organization because it's not. It's not protocol for you to say, well, I got my fez, I got my turban, I got this, I got that. Oh, you got that too? That's not our protocol. This is different. It's so different than many of our people who are even on our side of the nation, unfortunately, has not comprehended yet. We don't do that. What we do, and we should be doing, as members of the Morris Science Temple of America, is following the instructions of our prophet, Noble Duality. We don't promote that. Morris Americans don't promote violence. We don't beat our women. We don't adhere to beat her lightly. We don't do that. There's certain things that we're known by that we don't do. And the prophet said these things that we don't do, and we don't do it. So anyone who's doing that and claiming to be a part of the prophet's movement, I encourage you to stop in the name of Allah and his prophet, Noble Duality. Stop. Stop. Because we're going to say, that's your stuff. That's not our teachings. And you'll be standing out there all by yourself. Most American Muslims don't take people's houses either. We don't do that.
I'm gonna get a domicile, my domicile over there.
We don't do that.
When you say take houses, you're referring to what?
They call them change the lock on the house and go in there and claim it. We don't do that. That's not in our teachings, in other words.
Right.
It's not. That's something that an individual decided to do on his own. But you can't put that on Moorish American Muslim and say, oh, y'all do this. Y'all take people's houses. And that's what someone's saying in Chicago. So many professionals and lawyers and policemen, oh, you got to be careful because you know to take people's houses. Is that in y'all constitution and bylaws? No, it's not. It's not there. We don't claim people personal property. We don't do that. We don't. And to have that thing hanging over your head is a blemish. But it goes back to what's in our best interest as a nation, as an organization. What's in our best interest is the complete, unequivocal laws, rules, and regulations of the prophet Noble Duality. If it's not in his laws, rules, and regulations, we should not be doing it. And if I know a Moorish American is doing that, and someone who wants to join the temple say, well, I would join, but I don't want to do that. Is that required? I have to tell them what the prophet said. No, it is not. And it is not right to look at us like that, just like it's not right to look at all Italian Americans as gangsters, because Al Capone, as they say, was one. As they say. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So those are some beautiful points, Supreme Grand Sheik. Beautiful points.
Crazy.
For food for thought. And I thank you for taking the time. Now, my last question that I want to present to you, you spoke about it maybe about 5 minutes ago on the religious aspect. And as a religious and members of a religious corporation, there are some who say that our nationality in going before the government has nothing to do with our religion. And all that the government is concerned about is your status as far as nationality is concerned. So when the prophet brought us this doctrine, what was the importance he saw of returning us to our nationality and divine creed and establishing this divine and national movement?
Our nationality is our religion. Our religion is our nationality. And you can, he says, I stole you through the back door while the watchdog was sleeping. It has to come under religion. The prophet knew that when he said, our work is largely religious now. The Moorish Nationally Divine Movement is a movement. It's something that's going on. It is not an entity that supports officers. It never has been. It's a movement. We're moving. The Moorish National Divine Movement is moving. We are moving. And we're moving under the umbrella of religion. Religion, which you cannot destroy. This is our religion. Everything we do is our religion. And I'm sure there are many scholars out there who know that. But whether they want to demonstrate that or not, that's them. Or they're just simply confused. We are members of a religious corporation. And we're practicing our religion. This is our religion. That was a hard thing for me to understand as a young Moor. Now, how is this so? Should we be filing affidavits and should we be writing letters and putting papers in? Well, if we did that, we would be a civic organization. We're not a civic organization. The prophet knew the route he had to take to deliver us back to our home. And it is the most effective route that anyone could take. It is a divine route because we had a particular, peculiar situation, many of our people today. This is peculiar. And he had to organize this in such a way that it could not be taken away unless you destroy yourself. And we understand that religion is in the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. No laws can be made towards it. We are free. We are free, and we are free to do the things that we need to do as any law-abiding citizen here in the United States of America. This is our country. Thank you, brother.
Islam, you just reminded me of a statement that Brother Emiliel stated back in the day, where he said that he told him one of the brothers that he was writing to, he told him that the prophet said that this land was to be the future home of all Muslims who believe in the prophet. And he said, he told him, he said, if you don't believe what the prophet told you, then this is not your home. And he said, the prophet said that this fight was the fight of his father, God, Allah, and we could not lose for winning. But we would be required, each one of us, to do what he, the prophet, said in order to inherit this earth and our divine salvation. And if we doubted the prophet, then we would soon lose confidence in the prophet. And then we begin to work contrary to his divine will. And I think that that is such a poignant statement because it matches up with what you've been stating this whole conversation. You know, as long as the adversary can cause our members to cast a doubt, then they start looking at things to entertain that goes against the will of the prophet. You know, and it seems as if they don't respect the aspect that the prophet said that Islam is the only and future religion of all nations and all the lands, and any nation who refuses to accept it collectively or individually, according to the prophet, will have to leave this earth. So it seems like some of these people are ready to leave the earth, Grand Sheik.
Well, you know, carnal men love the dark. They love it. When the light shines in, they can't comprehend it because they're too wrapped up in the darkness of Negroism, Blackism, and Coloredism. They're too wrapped up in that. The prophet said you couldn't put new wine in old skins, it'll burst. You know, when you are accustomed and you've been made to act like an animal, like Senator Henry Berry said that he had us in 1852, like beasts in the field by not being educated in Carter G. Woodson's book, The Miseducation of a Negro, many of us, unfortunately, are just like that. If you act less than a man, like a beast, then you are in the dark. And when the light shines in, you can't comprehend it yet. Because you're too caught up on rhetoric and you're too caught up on vanity, which is beyond them all. The only savior of the day, again, and I repeat from the center of my heart,
is Noble Drew Ali. He's the savior of humanity. He's it. So let's follow him and live. Because we done died too many times already. Too many people are depending on us. Our children, out of ignorance, they don't know. It is our responsibility to tell them that, did you know you had a prophet and his works are here? To let them know and show them the power, the strength, and the glory of proclaiming your nationality. I pulled over in the parking lot. We just left Hammond, Indiana. We're on our way back to Chicago.
It's long.
So pardon the background noise.
That's all right. We appreciate this time.
My love to all the Moorish American Muslims. You're doing a great job, Roger Bay. Let's keep going forward. And we're going to announce some more powerful events when we get on the third Thursday, right?
Yes.
Okay, in a month.
Which will be for members, right? That's the one you want for members. Because I want to state that there's about 35 callers on the line, Supreme Grand Sheik, and we won't be able to get to them. I wanted you to be able to expound as much as possible on some of these key points that continuously plague us and what's going on in our communities. And you did that most beautifully, Supreme Grand Sheik. And I want to say to all of the callers, I thank you for staying with us while we went through this difficulty of getting back here to begin this broadcast. I appreciate your support and your listening, and I trust that you have garnered wisdom from the words of our Supreme Grand Sheik and Chairman of the Moorish Science Temple of America. Because
you might want to do, I didn't mean to cut you off, but maybe we can come on next Thursday. We can get some of those questions that they have. I don't want to leave them alone.
Yes. That's
perfect.
Well,
you think about it and let me know.
Yes. I think that would be good. I think that would be good. So if any questions that you all have had, you've had on what the Supreme Grand Sheik has spoke on this particular broadcast, tune back in next Thursday. It'll be set up, and it won't be these technical difficulties. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank my Supreme Grand Sheik and our Supreme Grand Sheik for members of the Moorish Science Temple of America, Brother Emmanuel Braswell Bay, for coming on and enlightening our minds with those pungent words of wisdom that he has garnered from the divine instructions and the teachings and the doctrines of Prophet Drew Ali. I thank you, Supreme Grand Sheik.
Thank you, brother. Peace and love. Thank you.
Peace and love. And I want to thank all listeners again for tuning in, and stay tuned for another episode of A Moorish View. Peace and love.